Bickley and Marotta mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader, Bickley Blast.
So, is today the day the Suns go young? As in Kevin Young, formerly a top assistant under Monty Williams. Many people seem to think Young is going to be the next head coach of the Suns, a rookie who will be expected to guide a veteran team to the finish line. And if not for the glowing reports from Devin Booker, this might feel like an extremely risky move. It feels like something the previous owner might do. It also raises some heavy questions. If James Jones survives as GM, and if Williams' right-hand man gets the job, well, it not only feels something of a coup, it's an organization that is clearly pointing the finger at Williams as the primary problem. I mean, ain't that something? It's hard to imagine that a coach as revered as Williams once was in Phoenix suddenly became an obstacle, a guy who was in the way. But we need to be honest here, even in a sports town where hard truths are often hard to find. But Williams lost Chris Paul. He wouldn't deal with Jay Crowder. He quit coaching DeAndre Ayton. He clearly didn't maximize Mikal Bridges. And in the end, he played favorites instead of the trade deadline acquisitions provided to him by Jones. So, if the Suns go young, it will be a fascinating conclusion to a coaching search that started with some of the biggest names in the coaching industry. And to think the solution was sitting next to Williams the whole time.
Ain't that some?
Today's Bickley Blast brought to you by my great friends at Chapman BMW, who make luxury attainable. Find them online at chapmanbmw.com.
I think this would be interesting and exciting to give a new first-time coach an opportunity, especially someone like Kevin Young, who him in particular and in Phoenix in particular, I've been told nothing but great things about how he was a key communicator between Monty Williams and the rest of the basketball operations there, but certainly the players, that he's got the support and the confidence of guys like Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. So I think it would be a really interesting situation to have him be the ultimate guy. And it would be, I think, a win overall for the league and for like the younger generations of the NBA's coaching fraternity who are trying to break into this, realm of former head coaches that keep getting interview opportunities.
That's Jake Fisher from Yahoo Sports. He covers the NBA. He joined us last week on Bickley and Marotta Mornings, talking about all the great things he's heard about Kevin Young. And everybody references the Devin Booker comment slash endorsement, if you will. I don't know if it could be considered an endorsement when it was made, but that quote was this. Devin Booker during the 2022-23 season said on Kevin Young, quote, he can do stuff on the court and he's a mastermind with the X's and O's and game scouting and knowing teams. So having the balance of both has been a big boost for my career. He's really helped and it is someone you can go to, ask any type of question. He's been around it for a long time. He knows the game. And yeah. Devin Booker has used that phrase, hey, you know the game. When he responds to reporters who ask thoughtful questions, he appreciates it, and he'll say, hey, you know the game. So that can't be taken lightly. Now, was it an endorsement? No, there was no coaching job open at that time for Kevin Young. Monty Williams was still the head coach, but it certainly appears that if you thought that way at one point about Kevin Young, you still do. So maybe we can make that stretch that was an endorsement of Kevin Young.
Yeah, no, I think that was more. That sounds more than just a player glossing over an assistant coach he likes. And some players on teams they grow very close to a lot of the assistant coaches. A lot of the assistant coaches are buffers. They serve roles that are almost like camp counselor at times. So it's not unusual to find a basketball player in the NBA targeting, and like Chris Paul, the way Chris Paul used to talk about Willie Green.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the way Devin Booker's talking about Kevin Young.
Yeah, it's definite similarities.
Yeah, so I think in terms of the quote that's been brought and drudged back up from Devin Booker, I think that's more than just your general garden variety. Yeah, that guy's cool. That seems to be a square endorsement of this guy is legit.
But then you wonder, why not hit the ground running? If that's the conclusion that the Suns brass has arrived at, that Kevin Young is our guy, we've gone through the interviews, we've narrowed it down to three, a guy that maybe we were interested in Ty Lue is not available, another guy that we were interested in to some degree has gone elsewhere in Nick Nurse, just pull the trigger on this
thing.
And I think
You're hoping there's not some kind of divide where, you know, James Jones and the players want Young and Ishbia wants the splashier, bigger name hire. Ishbia / Isaiah Thomas, who knows?
You had to get that in there.
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
well, no, listen, I hear what you're saying, and there's the timing of it. There's also the idea that if you already know that this is your guy, and there are going to be heavy questions about, okay, so again, tell me why Monty Williams' top assistant is better than Monty Williams. So there are some uncomfortable questions to be asked here.
Oh, absolutely.
And now you've got Devin Booker in France, Kevin Durant's in Monaco. Fantastic, man.
That's good life.
Lifestyles of the rich and famous.
They appear to make a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that?
But, you know, this came up, too, and I think it was in social studies yesterday. A lot of people saying, you know, would you be disappointed with Kevin Young? Well, no, but it all depends on what Kevin Young has to coach. If you're going to battle with two players every night, it's not going to go well for Kevin Young.
No.
The roster needs to be reshaped. And that is not an indictment on James Jones. The roster got torn apart at the deadline because of, you know, because of the Kevin Durant trade. So you got 8 regular season games and 2 playoff series of Kevin Durant. You fell short of your goal. And now you know what falling short looks like. It's up to the Suns brass, led by James Jones, to rebuild that roster to give Kevin Young what he needs to get to the next level that Monty Williams couldn't.
That to me is also the much bigger story, that if James Jones is ensconced and in place moving forward, and it seems that he is, then this is what's really going to matter now. And that would also mean that Matt Ishbia, unlike Monty Williams, has a great deal of faith in James Jones, even though there have been some swings and misses, even though there wasn't enough bench help around Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. And again, I think that's when this coaching thing comes back into the conversation. Could James Jones make an argument that, no, the right pieces were there, they just weren't developed, they just weren't played, they weren't deployed properly? No?
I mean, you can make that argument. If somebody presented that argument to you, would you buy it?
Isn't Matt Ishbia, by keeping James Jones as the GM, buying that argument? Isn't he saying, yep, my GM is not to blame here?
Yeah.
If you keep every single member of the front office and the coaching staff except for Monty Williams.
I would be surprised if Kevin Young's the guy. I would be surprised if the rest of the coaching staff comes back.
That would be, you couldn't do that. Because that coaching staff was
Monty Williams staff. Not Monty Williams guys.
Yeah, and now there might be some guys on that staff that Kevin Young grew very close to that he wants to tap into. And I'm sure that's okay. But you're right. Coming back with something that looks very much like last year, I don't know about that.
And look, I know it's all going to optics. But it would be very weird to go this long, have all these interviews, and wind up just promoting from within, because it's going to feel, to some, like you tried to get, you know, Ty Lue, you tried to get Nick Nurse, you tried to get this guy, that guy, and you settled for the guy that was already on the staff.
Yeah, but we also had those discussions with the Cardinals coaching search, too, and Vance Joseph was the guy who was the candidate and got an interview, and everybody said, why would you keep Vance Joseph? It's a much different situation. That Cardinals team won 4 games. The Suns team was a championship contender that got to the second round of the playoffs against a team that's probably going to win the title. But going back to my point, too, on the roster and how it's constructed, is you could look at what the Suns role players did or didn't do this year. But look at the last two teams standing. The reason why Miami is playing for a championship is not Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo. They've been good. Their role players have been otherworldly. Denver, their role players show up every single night. That's a big reason why these are the two teams that are playing for a championship.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's one of the takeaways. Now, whether it's a coincidence or whether it's a trend, I do think that is something to look at. That you can get to a championship in the NBA with 2 great players and a very well-rounded team. It doesn't have to be 3.
No.
It 2 does. Utah.
Yeah,
2.
Yeah. I like 2 better. Because then you can have a more well-rounded team with 2 instead of 3.
What do you think of the number 2, Jarrett? Go to break, Ferret.
So many jokes to be made there. They'll come during the commercial
break.
Bell
poopy.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, DeAndre Hopkins, now a former Cardinal. What do they do with Buda Baker? some possibility straight ahead. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, Bickley and Murata mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Welcome back. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Dan Bickley, Vince Murata, the Arizona Cardinals. Won't be long before football is in the air. We're within 100 days.
Yeah, under 100 days now.
Yeah, under 100 days to the NFL season. I said yesterday in talking about DeAndre Hopkins and this whole sad debacle of a guy who is no longer with the Cardinals and brought nothing back in return, that I hope that this is rock bottom for the football team. I hope that everything from this point forward, even if they're about to have a really bad season, that at least maybe the drama is behind them and there's going to be a good plan in place and they can actually start stacking some victories, even if they're small victories. Which brings us to Buda Baker. It would occur to me that after DeAndre Hopkins has left for nothing and soon to be catching passes from either Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes, that Buda Baker's got additional leverage, that there's a feeling that the Cardinals now, after everything that happened, can't afford to lose him. So I don't know what that means, but I thought I heard a different change in the tone of Buda Baker when Cam Cox caught up with him a couple days ago, mm-hmm. where it was, oh, of course I'm going to show up. Where else would I be? Right? It was kind of like that.
Basically. Yeah. Here's what it sounded like, by the way, when Cam Cox asked Buda Baker, hey, you're going to be at mandatory team activities?
Oh, yeah, of course. I'll be there when it's time to be there. You know, when it's time to be there, I'll be there smiling, same regular guy that I am, and, you know, just excited to see those guys again.
Yeah, different tone. And we didn't...
A little bit, yeah.
We didn't hear the tone when he asked for the trade. He did some interviews early in the mm-hmm. offseason around Super Bowl time where he talked about, you know, what to look for in a new head coach. You said something earlier in the show, though, Bick, that it's very important from this. We had the discussion of what Mike Florio wrote about Caleb Williams and that possibility and just this laundry list of stuff that's gone wrong for the Cardinals over the past year plus. You said it's very important that they do things in a professional manner the rest mm-hmm. of the way. That includes taking care of Buda Baker. I can only imagine the morale of the Cardinals fan base is maybe at the lowest point in 20 years.
Yeah, it's good. I think that's fair.
If Buda Baker's situation can't be worked out, and you can't keep a guy who, yes, he did ask for a trade. I get it. He's unhappy with, you know, the money remaining on his contract. If you can't take care of a guy that can help you rebuild this thing, mm-hmm. man, what does that do for the messaging and the morale to this fan base?
I agree with all of that. I also think that along these lines, I look at where the Cardinals happen to be, and it occurs to me that throughout their history in Arizona, they seem to drift to a natural state of dysfunction. And the times when they escape that is when they have super strong personalities, top talent at the very top. Kurt Warner, Bruce Arians, Carson Palmer, Tyrann Mathieu, you know, Patrick Peterson in the good days. You know what I'm talking about mm-hmm. here. It seems like, and it occurred to me because that's where we're at now. We're in the dysfunction now. We've heard Carson Palmer talk about how bad it was here when he got here. So that's 2013. Okay. And then we know what it was like pre-Kurt Warner, and we know what it was like right after Kurt Warner. Okay, so I think that in the case of Buda Baker, having a stable voice to say, yes, everything is going to be just fine here. And I do think the Cardinals got sideways. I think instead of building teams, they went looking for star power and artificial ways to get the fan base excited and not a lot of coherent team building, and as evidenced through the drafts.
Some of that worked, some of it didn't.
Some of it did.
J.J. Watt was a positive, especially in his second year.
Mm-hmm.
2 years of A.J. Green, that didn't work.
That was one
of those moves that I think you're talking about where, hey, this is a recognizable name. 7 Pro Bowls to start mm-hmm. his career. One of the all-time greats at receiver. He didn't do much here.
And I also understand in terms of the Arizona Cardinals, because there's a lot of people who have begun to wonder, why did the team not recognize post-Bruce Arians what they recognize now? that it is time for a Rush Hour reboot, right? That it's that, and I'm talking about going into the Steve Wilkes year when they sunk that money into Sam Bradford. It's also a very it's a hard line to straddle to know when your run is done. Mm-hmm. And to desperately try to keep it in play. You know what I mean? So there were a couple of years where I think the Cardinals were desperately chasing something that needed a significant overhaul, and here we are. So, I think in the case of Buda Baker, what makes it tricky for this team is you can't come in as Monty Ossenfort and Jonathan Gannon and sing the praises of Buda Baker as the model of the culture you want in this organization and then squabble over money. Now, this is assuming it is only about money. And this is assuming that Buda Baker isn't looking at this and now more than ever wants out. I don't think that's the case. And I think that was the importance of that interview with Cam Cox.
Yeah.
That he's coming back this way rather than getting further away.
Well, once upon a time, the Cardinals signed Buda Baker to a contract extension that made him the highest paid safety in the sport. That is no longer the case. I think he's the seventh highest paid safety in the sport. He's definitely better than a top seven safety. If you were willing to do it then and his play has not dropped off, in fact, you can make the argument that Buda Baker's a better player than he was when he got that original contract that made him the richest safety in the game. Why not just go there?
Should players just sign one-year deals and be reevaluated after every season then? That's always like the weird thing. Like, it wasn't that long ago that he got the contract, so other people signed deals after you.
I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be against it.
Well, and this is where we're getting into what a player means to a fan base, the loyalty he's shown, the purpose and the passion he plays with. Because when you look at Buda Baker, what's different between Buda Baker and DeAndre Hopkins? Both want more money because their guaranteed money is gone.
Yes.
And apparently, if I'm reading this correctly, Buda Baker is looking at this and going, okay, look, I'm a premium player, and my heart is here, and I've proved it to you, and I've left it on the field for you. You just need to reward me if you want me to help guide this team through this maelstrom we're about to go through. Okay? Yet, if you were, Monty Ossenfort, but again, see, the difference is, you look at Buda Baker and you're already on record as saying this is the guy we want all future Cardinals to be.
Yes.
Then you have to reward him.
Yes.
So if Buda Baker, if it's just about sweetening the pot, there's no reason why you shouldn't. Where else are you spending the money? Nobody else is expecting this team to go out and make big free agent signings. And they're not coming anyways.
And to get back to your point, comparing DeAndre Hopkins and Buda Baker, how they conducted themselves while they're here. I mean, Buda Baker's been the example. He's been the guy. I mean, you watched Hard Knocks.
I did.
He was the guy that was put up on the pedestal by everybody in the organization. That's the prototype of what you want.
If not for the camera sucking powers of JJ Watt, Buda Baker would have been the breakout star of that series.
The camera's sucking power.
Right?
It was entertaining.
Right? The thing with Buda, too, is Buda's got 2 years left in his contract. So having a team over a proverbial barrel, it's kind of what Buda does, but that's not the way Buda operates. So,
well, it's the same thing as you're not showing up for mandatory things, but you're laughing and smiling and saying, of course I'll be there.
Oh, good. Yeah, right.
Like, if he didn't have this contract dispute, would he be here this week or last week?
You would hope.
He probably would have.
Given it that it's a rookie head coach.
So there's something going on, Buda.
Yeah.
We know that.
Yes, there is something going on. So we'll see what happens when we'll see on the day of mandatory OTAs or whatever they're called.
June 13th.
Yeah. And not only if he shows up, but if he participates.
2 weeks from today?
Okay.
That is 2 weeks from today. There you go. Coming up next, we'll talk some NBA Suns coaching search and beyond. Insider from ESPN, Tim McMahon, joins us here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
NBA Finals begin tomorrow night in Denver. Nuggets and Heat. Suns still looking for a head coach. Here to talk about all of it with us from ESPN NBA Insider, Tim McMahon, joins us here on the Arizona Sports Line. Tim, thanks so much for joining us today. We appreciate it.
No problem.
With the Milwaukee job filled and the Philadelphia job going to Nick Nurse, the Suns seem to be next up on this hiring calendar, if you will. And I mean, from our perspective, Tim, it looks like all signs are pointing to Kevin Young, the associate head coach, to step into Monty Williams' spot. Are you hearing similar? And if so, why is it taking so long to finalize this thing?
Yeah, I can't give you a good answer on why exactly it's taking so long to finalize. Certainly there was a lot of talk around the league about Nick Nurse being a serious candidate for the Suns. He decided to take the offer from Philadelphia instead of perhaps waiting for one to materialize in Phoenix. But there has been a lot of momentum building for Kevin Young the whole time. And early on, I think there was an anticipation that Matt Ishbia would want to make a quote-unquote big name hire. And, obviously there were a lot of coaches out there, not just with names, but with championship rings. But I was told, in the days after Monty Williams was fired, hey, take Kevin Young seriously as a candidate, because the Suns are, and Devin Booker in particular absolutely is. And this is a guy who obviously Booker has been with for a few years. It's not just, hey, Booker likes him. He respects him. He thinks that this guy's got big-time head coaching potential. And as somebody who is in the loop told me, the big name would be nice, but the quote was, you never know when you can hire another Spoelstra. Hmm. Eric Spoelstra wasn't a big name when the Heat made him a head coach. Now, 15 years later, the guy's headed to the Hall of Fame.
What's interesting to me is if James Jones survives as GM, and it appears that he is, and if Monty Williams gets fired and his top associate gets promoted to Monty Williams' job, that's a pretty firm finger pointing at Monty Williams as maybe the root cause or a big cause of what's happened here the last couple of years. Should we be comfortable with that as Suns fans? What does that say to you?
I don't think I understand what you're saying, and certainly I think that's a reasonable connecting of the dots. I don't think it's fair. And anybody who looks at Monty Williams' tenure in Phoenix and doesn't consider it a success is just not being reasonable. I mean, you were there. You know what he took over.
Oh, yeah.
You know what they were able to accomplish during his tenure there. I will say if Monty Williams wanted to coach next year, he absolutely would. I think it's more likely he's going to take a season off. But again, I understand what you're saying, and I think that is completely unfair to Monty Williams. And look, I also think it's reasonable to say, hey, why did you fire Monty Williams when you didn't know who your next head coach was going to be? But listen, when you pay billions of dollars to buy an NBA franchise, you're allowed to make the decisions that you want to make. And look, there was a lot of talk about, hey, is James Jones going to survive? Like you said, it does appear that he is. But I think we all understand that his decision-making power has been certainly diminished with Ishbia taking over.
Tim McMahon from ESPN, our guest here on Bickley and Murata Mornings. This coaching cycle has been crazy. Just for the simple fact, Tim, as you know, three championship coaches were let go by teams. Monty Williams, a coach that recently got his team to the finals, was let go. And we were talking about it on the show earlier in the week that it seems like unless you win multiple championships, you got a 4 or 5 year window regardless of what happens. Do you think this is going to be the norm moving forward with this many quality coaches available for coaching hires?
It's certainly the trend, and I think there's also going to be some people around the league who point to the two teams in the finals and say, hey, the Nuggets stuck with Michael Malone, despite it not just being boom, instant microwave success. And look at them. They built something. There's continuity. They're going to the finals now. They've got a chance to, certainly be a contender, if not the big dogs in the Western Conference for the next several years. Obviously, Spoelstra, aside from Pop in San Antonio, is the longest tenured head coach in the league. Mm-hmm. So, you laid the trend out, and that's definitely the way that the league is going. But again, I'm going to point to the last two teams standing and say, maybe there is something to be said for sticking with a good head coach.
Yeah, and that's, yes, I agree. That's a good strategy if you know you've got the right guy and you kind of ride through the vagaries of competition with them. I'm curious what you think about this. As somebody who was tagging along and covering the Suns throughout all this, you know how unusual it was for Devin Booker to blow off the media after Game 6, and then he did the same thing after exit interviews, and that's something he just doesn't do.
Yeah.
Given that, given the state and the age of Kevin Durant, how do you feel about the Suns at this point going forward, getting that championship in the next couple of years?
Yeah, and I really was surprised that Booker didn't do media. It's one thing in the heat of the moment, you were just humiliated on your home floor for to end the season for the second straight year. I can understand, blowing it off that night. I was surprised he didn't come back and talk the next day, because he understands his role as the face of a franchise. I still say, look, they've got two top 10 players in the NBA. There's 29 other teams who would love to be able to say that. They've got a lot of work to do around those guys to build out a championship caliber supporting cast. But, when you've got two guys who are that level of star, you're going to have a chance.
Tim McMahon from ESPN, our guest here on Arizona Sports. The finals get underway tomorrow. Denver's been riding this wave of disrespect all the way to their first NBA Finals appearance, and what Miami has done as an 8 seed has been remarkable. And a lot of people not giving Miami much of a chance in this series. Do you, Tim?
So, yeah, the Nuggets ride this wave of disrespect right to the finals where they're the heavy, heavy favorites.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So much for that. Listen, I think the Nuggets win the series. I pick Nuggets in 6. I just don't think that Miami has the offensive firepower to keep up with the best offense in basketball. And obviously you guys saw Jokic. I mean, the guy's just unbelievable, and they've got pieces that fit really well around him. Jamal Murray is just one of the best playoff shot makers and scorers in the league. But do I give Miami a chance? Like, you have to give Miami a chance. Mm-hmm. They beat the team that had the best record in the league, right? In 5 games in the first round, they beat the team that had the second best record in the league in the Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Butler is one of the most relentless competitors that we've ever seen in the league. Spoelstra, is a multi-time championship coach who, in fact, he's never been coach of the year, is crazy, because he's probably the best coach in the NBA right now. So I absolutely give them a chance. Having said all that, my pick was Nuggets in 6. Mm.
When you take a look at Bob Myers walking away from Golden State, what does that say to you, Tim? Does that say to you that he believes that with his head that the run is probably over, but he doesn't have the heart to be the guy to trade off pieces? What do you think the lesson is here? What is the message here?
Yeah, I think that you can speculate and say, hey, this guy built that dynasty. He doesn't want to be the one who's overseeing the teardown process. And that's fair, but that's speculation. If you take him at his word, the guy was just tired. He just didn't feel like he could, he could give it his all after a dozen years on the job. And I don't think that you can say, okay, Bob Myers is gone, they're definitely tearing this thing down. We'll see how things play out this summer. They've obviously got some major decisions to make as far as, hey, does Clay get an extension? What happens with Draymond? Does he opt out of that player option? Does he take that? Is there an extension there? Is Jordan Poole traded? Like, there's some major, major decisions to be made. But I think it would be a dangerous assumption to say, well, Bob Myers left, that means they're blowing this thing up.
All right, last question for you. When you look at the Miami Heat, their culture is obviously profound. It's renowned. It's talked about a lot. What do the Miami Heat do that every organization in the NBA could do if they were paying attention?
honestly, the Heat culture has become almost even a cliche. I remember talking to PJ Tucker last year, and he just like rolled his eyes. Heat culture. He's like, well, listen, I'm the same guy that I was when I was in Phoenix and Houston and Milwaukee. Like, this ain't about Heat culture. This is like, I'm PJ Tucker. Give me a break. But they do have a great culture. But I think if you talk about what are they able to do? They're able to both be major players in free agency, which we can talk about Jimmy Butler. Obviously, you go back to LeBron and Bosch back in the day. They're always going to be a destination in free agency because of partially location, but also just the respect that franchise has around the league. And then you talk about a franchise that's probably the best in the league in terms of identifying under-the-radar talent and then developing it. I mean, I know these guys are tired of being referred to as undrafted, but you look at the impact that Gabe Benson's made.
Yeah.
You look at the impact that certainly Caleb Martin made. And you know, that's a guy they picked up. They didn't even get him as an undrafted guy. They got him off the scrap heap. You know, Duncan Robinson. So I think when you are able to attract stars like they have been in free agency and do as well as they do, not just in the draft, but, you know, going through the rubble and developing guys, that's how you have the kind of sustained success that they have over most of the last couple decades.
Yeah. Tim, great stuff. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, brother.
Really enjoyed the conversation today.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Tim McMahon, NBA insider for ESPN. You can hear him on the Hoop Collective podcast as well. He joined us on the Arizona Sports Line. Coming up next, we'll dive into one of those subjects. What's going on with that Suns coaching search? Is it Kevin Young? And, well, we're waiting. That's next. Bickley and Murata mornings here on Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
Dan Bickley, Vince Murata. Bickley and Murata mornings. Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.
I have nothing to throw against the argument for Kevin Young, who served under Monty Williams. Other than this, Ishbia decided to get rid of Monty Williams. So why keep someone from his staff? Now, he was an owner there from the beginning. He picked Monty Williams, and he decided to let Monty Williams go. That's different.
Yeah, that's Stephen A. Smith from First Take asking that question that a lot of people are asking. Why keep somebody? If it is Kevin Young, and just talking to Tim McMahon, he seems convinced that that's the guy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Then why keep somebody off of a fired coach's staff? To me, that just points to the conclusion that this was personality driven. That this was not a meshing between Matt Ishbia and Monty Williams.
I think it might be deeper than that, Vinny. I think it might be some of the players rebelling against Monty as well. I don't think Matt Ishbia came in here and said, "Man, I don't like this head coach." And then the team is, "Wait a minute, man, we love this guy." I don't think that's the way this thing played out.
Yeah, I mean, we have talked about that too. Messages, coaching, communication, mm-hmm. It all has a shelf life in professional sports now.
Absolutely.
And maybe that shelf life just expired on Monty Williams.
Yeah, or if you were a member, if you were Devin Booker and or Kevin Durant and you were convinced your coach was playing the wrong guys in the wrong sequence, then that on top of the owner not vibing with the head coach, now you got issues. Said it before, I'll say it again. Monty Williams deserves everything he got, the praise, all the good, and he deserves what he got in the end. I think that it's quite clear to me that a new voice is needed to get from point B to point A. I hope Kevin Young is up for the job, because Devin Booker sure seems to think so. Devin Booker still hasn't talked about last season. Clearly, Suns fans don't seem at all bothered by it because he's Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
But this means something. And if you're a smart basketball fan, you know that.
Well, you, not to toot your horn for you, but I will, you were among the first to recognize that the shelf life for Monty Williams was coming to an end. And you brought it up during the Denver series and said, hey, if the Suns don't get out of this series, mm-hmm. you fully expect there to be a head coaching change. And they didn't waste any time after that, because the path was clear. You get to the NBA Finals in year two of Monty Williams. In year three, you get bounced in the second round of game seven. In year four, you get bounced in the second round of game six. Now, yes, you're playing against the number one seed, but that is a backward trend.
Yeah.
And we saw that trend all over the league, that mm-hmm. if you're not moving forward and getting to steps that you hadn't reached in the past, your job as a head coach is in jeopardy. That's just the way it is.
I'll never forget, as long as I live, that last year after the Suns had posted the best record in the NBA by a mile, 8 games better than the nearest closest competitor in the regular season. You can look it up. That is a historic difference between one and the rest of the league.
Mm-hmm.
it seemed to me that every time the Suns lost a game, whether it was against the Pelicans or the Mavericks, Monty Williams would come in and blame himself for not getting the team ready to play. Mm-hmm. And I remember this became a running topic on this show. And if you follow basketball, you know that happens once in a blue moon, that it does happen. And you go and you own it, and it never happens again. For it to happen repeatedly, that tells you that that there's internally something is wrong. And that was sort of like the tale of last year's postseason, yes, along with all the other weirdness.
Yeah.
And then you got another postseason on top of it with equal but different disappointment, because Devin Booker and Kevin Durant fully expected to win a championship. And so this is so you make changes in times like this. Now, yeah, I'll be curious to see what Monty thinks about the whole thing. But again, I think Monty knew that this was coming to an end, and not just because he was being martyred. I think he looked at the basketball team and said, they're not hearing me anymore. This is not even the team that I was hired to coach.
And what did he say after game six of the elimination against Denver? He said the same thing. Said, I didn't feel like I had him ready to play.
Yeah, same thing.
And we've talked about the danger in multiple sports of a coach repeating that message. You know, so for any of the aspiring coaches in the audience, don't go there in your press conferences. I thought they were ready to play. Something happened emotionally with this team.
It's their fault.
Listen, yeah, well, I right.
So, that's what Bruce Arians
but Monty is way too classy for that. Monty won't do that. But I will tell you this, and I've said this to you before. I've said this to other people privately. After that dreadful Game 7 against Dallas, Monty Williams was in the middle of his post-game press conference, and it was the last one of the year, and we're all trying to process this horrific disappointment, this end nobody ever saw coming. And it's not unusual for the people who are next up on the podium to come in a little bit early, near the tail end of it. This time, Devin Booker and Chris Paul walked into the room and stood inside the door watching Monty Williams from about midway through to the end. And as somebody who has seen this in different forms over the years, it almost seemed to me like the two leaders of the team were making sure the coach wasn't dropping dime on what happened. Now, we know that there was a conspiracy of silence as it relates to the Jay Crowder incident.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of fur flying at the end of that Dallas postseason. And for them to come in and watch Monty Williams, it was almost like the two leaders of the team going, okay, what are you gonna tell him? And everybody, to a man, said nothing. And then we went into an offseason, and then we came back expecting to run it back. So you see here that this great culture has been broken for a while. And hopefully, again, I'll say it again, Kevin Young, if he is Devin Booker's guy, good enough for me. Because that's all I care about right now.
And I don't get the feeling, and I know I heard Burns and Gambo talk about this too, and I think they're right on the money. Kevin Durant doesn't really strike you as a player that's all that caught up in who his coach is. Do you get that impression from him? Like, when he
says,
not at
this point,
I just want to play basketball, I get that feeling from Kevin Durant.
Yeah. Yes. But I also think that if a head coach lost Kevin Durant, you're probably not getting him back.
Yeah, no. I mean, you don't think he had a part in Steve Nash being fired?
It might have been a part. You know who I'm pointing most of the finger
at. Well, yes. I like to point a few fingers at that guy, too.
Kyrie. Just keep him out of Phoenix. That's all. Lakers, please take him. Please.
You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. And I want to let you know that Arizona Sports and TruSpec Golf are teeing up Dad this Father's Day. Text Dad to 620-620 for your chance to win a custom-fit driver and a foursome at Talking Stick Golf Club, courtesy of TruSpec Golf. Pretty cool prize. That's a Dad, D-A-D, to 620-620. Coming up next, Sarah Cazell takes us through some social studies here on Bickley and Murata Mornings, Arizona Sports, the local sports leader.